This is Talk Star Wars.
The official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Paul.
And hopefully Stephen will join us later. This is episode 77 and we're going to slip a new thing in this evening. It's going to be get to know your hosts at the end of this episode. So we're on light news weeks, I think we'll probably just do this. Just tell people a little bit about us. Like we've said, there's been every episode is potentially someone's first. So it might be interesting if we just cover some of the things that we like about Star Wars and other things. So, but before we get to that, we're going to jump into a few bits, which we like to get to every week, starting with some thank yous. So thank you to Retro Magnification for subscribing to the YouTube channel this week. And thank you to everyone who followed us on Twitter. It's there are too many people to count on Twitter every week. There are lots. So thanks lots. And also,
are you using fingers again, Mark?
I was using fingers, yeah, but then I got bored.
And slightly confused.
I hit 10 and went, wait, what?
Wait, no. Where did we go from
here? He'd used toes, but he lived in a certain part of the country that we...
Well, as soon as I get to taking my shoes off, then I forget what I'm doing. And you might as well write it off at that point. Also, to the people who don't show up on the subscribe account on YouTube, thank you, because it won't show me who you are, but I know you're there, so thank you very much.
Cheers.
Reviews. We have one this week. Huzzah. You can send us a 5-star review through iTunes and we will apply what we call our Ron Burgundy policy to it. So whatever you write in a 5-star review, one of us will read verbatim, unless it's rude, because then we won't, because we like children to listen to our podcast, or at least be able to. Children of all ages.
Two that we know of anyway.
Yeah. So if you want to promote something like your podcast or your blog, then that might be the place to do it. There's only one rule, keep it clean. So here is this week's 5-star review. The best Star Wars podcast. Very kind. This is Talk Star Wars, the best Star Wars related podcast in the galaxy. Cheers, guys, for making this podcast so enjoyable. All the best at TSW from Adam. It's our friend Adam Sheldon in the UK store. So thank you for that, Adam. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which takes us on. I know we're on a clock tonight. Because we're trying to get done before Steve's free to join us. But
basically, yeah.
So we're going to get straight into listener comms, which is where you can send your questions to us. So you can send your questions and comments via Twitter or Facebook, or send us email and voicemail to talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. Just attach an MP3 and we will use that as a voicemail. So Rob, would you like to take our first email this week?
Sure.
Just really a friend of yours.
I really like this question.
Yeah, no, I do too. Shame about the sender. Anyway, so this comes from Omer Ibrahim.
TSW
VIP. A name that I've read out many times in my life.
Cool.
So it reads, "Hi guys, hope you're having a great show as always. Except Rob. Someone needs to interrupt him more."
You do know him.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you listen to my other show, Crazy Train, you'd know Omer.
He knows you.
Yeah, you'd know what that's...
Yeah, Rob, can you come with it?
We're just interrupting, anyway. Rob. We're following listener instructions.
Anyway, easy question. What is your Star Wars unpopular opinion? Both something you like that most people don't and vice versa. The prequels is cheating. Personally, I really enjoy the I killed them scene in Attack of the Clones, as well as the scene where Anakin and Padme basically confess their love. The fact that that Hayden's acting is so stiff and wooden really comes across to me as demonstrating how utterly broken Anakin is as a person. He doesn't act like a normal person because he's not normal. On the flip side, I'm not the biggest fan of C-3PO. I wouldn't want him out of the films, but he annoys me in the exact same way as he annoys the characters in the films. Maybe that's the point. Maybe it's because Anthony Daniels once kicked over my Coke. Who knows? I think I was there for that. I also don't like Rob, but that's not an unpopular opinion. I just wanted you to know.
That's hilarious. I like this guy.
Chew on that. You'd like him even more if you met him. He's lovely. Yeah. Anyway, chew on that and argue with each other. That's always entertaining. Cheers, Omer. So what opinions do we hold that are unpopular as related to Star Wars? One like that is not one not popular like and one popular dislike or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Something I like that no one else likes and something I dislike that everyone likes.
Yeah, yes. You should be all right with this, Paul.
Okay. Well, what you got in mind? I mean, I've got one that obviously is the forefront of my mind, and that's those shitty little teddy bears. Oops, sorry.
Paul's weekly time code.
No, but I've always referred them in the same way. But yeah, as much as I seriously would have all the time in the world for oh god, I forgot his name. That doesn't help, does it? Wicket. What was the guy that played Wicket?
Warwick Davis.
Yeah, I adore him. Everything he does is fantastic.
Well, almost everything.
No, I love him. Seriously, I think he's awesome. Yeah. Love the way he carries himself and so on. But yeah, the whole Ewok thing killed a trilogy for me, I'm afraid.
Wow.
Well, it didn't, because fortunately there was a dark enough thing going on up in space that really did hook you for the rest of Jedi.
Yeah.
But the whole stones and boulders battle down on the thing.
I get where you're coming from. I don't necessarily entirely see it the same way, but I do understand. I do get it. You know, I understand. Yeah,
but I mean, I know. I mean, there's probably other people that do dislike that with me, but the majority, you know, think it's a nice romantic way to end the
majority seems to be on board with teddy bears. Yeah,
yeah, but I'm obviously not enormously there.
Clearly not. No.
So that's my dislike. Like, what do I really like? Crikey, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, let me ponder. Let's do dislikes because I need time. Mark, what's your dislike?
Yeah, okay. Dislikes. Good job I wrote this down. Where most people hate, I like Star Wars. I didn't actually put anything in there that I don't like. I only put a like in there. What don't I like that people do?
Playing by the rules of the question.
Yeah, that is one thing I cannot abide.
Really?
I think my dislike of Attack of the Clones is probably unpopular.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people seem to disagree with me on that one. It's by far my least favourite Star Wars film.
I think that's quite common.
I think it's a common opinion, but it's still not a popular one, especially with people who are fans of that very thing. It's just not.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just not my cup of tea. I really think that if there is a film in the prequel trilogy that shows they started too early with Anakin's story in terms of his age, it's that one, because it seems to be quite a lot of filler. And I think you could probably excise a large chunk of Attack of the Clones and still get to the meat of it all when it comes to telling Anakin's story. So
Fair enough.
I think that's probably my most unpopular dislike in terms of opinion.
Okay. No. I mean, there's nothing I really thoroughly dislike. I mean, I've had a lot of stick in the past because I don't like Force Awakens. Force Awakens is lower in my list than most people's.
Yeah, it's under some of the prequels, isn't it?
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, and I kind of come to that.
No, I've never held it in great reverence, I'm afraid.
What's that? Force Awakens?
Yeah, unfortunately.
No, I get that, you know. But I say, I don't dislike it, and that's the point, you know. What I'm saying is, you know, people see me saying I don't like it all that much as, oh, he hates it. But, well, no, that's not the case. I just don't like it as much as the others. It occupies, I think last time I checked, it was third or fourth from bottom. That's sort of mid, in the middle of the pack.
And what's under it?
It's crud. Phantom Menace.
Christmas special.
Attack of the Clones. Holiday specials. To be honest, Attack of the Clones gets redeemed compared to the bloody holiday special.
Ewok Adventure.
God awful. Just painful. That's not an unpopular one. That's really complete and total opposite.
That's almost a fact.
Yeah, I would say it's as close as a fact as subjective opinion gets.
Oh, yes. I thought of another one.
What, another dislike, Paul?
Yeah.
Do it.
Boba Fett.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
Don't get it. No, I mean, I understand Boba Fett and his centralized element of story, but he appears in the story and it's kind of cool. He's got a great ship, he's got a great uniform, and he nods really coolly. But beyond that, he's completely inept in every way, and I don't know what the fuss is about him.
There was a meme about that this week, wasn't there?
Don't get it. Boba Fett.
Defeated by a blind guy with a paddle.
What a waste.
That's pretty good. That's a good one, I think. I like that one. As a point goes, I like that one. It's a good one.
What about likes? Paul, have you come up with a like yet, or would you like us to go first?
I'd like you to go first.
That's what he did there. Well, mine's very mine's very simple. I'm only going to do one. I've listed three, but
all right.
I really like The Phantom Menace in terms of the prequels.
It's a good movie.
I think that might be my favourite prequel, in fact.
Phantom Menace is a grow-up. You watch it the first time and you're like, oh man, that's rough. And then over time, you go, do you know what, actually, every time I watch it, I like a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily something I can always quantify, but
it was It was one of those films where I left the theatre thinking, there's more in there that I'm questioning than I was prepared for. You know, like the pickups were really obvious to me. That put me off straight away. Some of the stuff at the pod race, like the announcers and some of the pod race pilots, kind of put me off. And obviously the Gungans and Boss Nass are kind of skewed so young to me. And I thought, I'm not sure. But that soon, over the years, that's kind of gone away. And the things that I love about it, sort of Natalie Portman and Darth Maul, Ewan McGregor, obviously, and Qui-Gon, they've sort of quietened the noise of all the negative elements that I initially came away with. I think that even though most people want that film to be burned, I actually quite like it.
All right. Good answer. Again. I have one big one and one little one. The big one is Revenge of the Sith. That's my second favourite film of the set.
Mm-hmm.
Although actually Rogue One is creeping up towards it because Rogue One's bloody marvellous.
Mm-hmm.
Little one, I think I prefer the Jedi lightsaber battle to the Empire one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Hmm? I think part of the reason is I really like Jedi Luke with the black and grey outfit, just as a, you know, fashion conscious thing.
Yeah.
And I also really like the story that they're telling with trying to get him to swing to the dark side and trying to sort of tempt him over by threatening Leia and all that sort of stuff. I really dig that. And the music in it is incredible as well.
Yeah, that whole Vader or Anakin being willing to sacrifice his son's soul to sort of save himself and keep himself in power. Is something that I've always really found fascinating. That's why I love Empire so much. It's that sort of that element of it that this guy, this junkie, basically Anakin, is just willing to burn his son at the stake in order to get what he wants. I find that compelling.
Yeah, no, that's one for me. So Revenge of the Sith is higher up in my list than others, and people find that bizarre. But the little one is the Jedi lightsaber battle is superior to the Empire one.
Mm, okay.
In my estimation.
Paul, have you come up with anything?
Well, anything I like that no one else cares about?
Indeed.
Jawas. The entire Tatooine experience from the pod leaving the runner all the way up to the Millennium Falcon is just classic movie. And I've actually watched just that section again and again and again and then turned the film off.
Yeah.
Out of interest, Paul, does that improve your watching a Phantom Menace as well, or is it just limited to New York?
I don't mind Menace so much. Anything with Menace was it had a dangling script, and I'm not putting anything bad on him at all, but who was the kid that played Annie?
Jake Lloyd.
Yeah, the delivery wasn't good, but it wasn't his fault. He's under direction. He's a young kid, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to give the kid slack on that.
Sure.
Put it this way: the backstory of the script I thought was great.
Yeah.
The delivery of the script wasn't. Unfortunately, the delivery of the dialogue wasn't.
Yeah. Some of the stuff. Qui-Gon
was severely underused. He was so beautiful and mysterious and powerful and stuff, and we knew that, but we didn't see much of it.
Yeah, it might not be over yet though.
I'd have no problem seeing a Qui-Gon film. There you go. I'd see that over a Ben film.
I would like to see Qui-Gon come back in his Force Ghost form. I would love to see him imparting wisdom.
I will find you.
Yeah,
that's not him, is it?
It's not going to be at the end of a phone.
But, I like I like the not the world that Watto's in, but I like, you know, the sand crawler, nuts and bolts, the sand, the arid atmosphere. Mm-hmm. These little aliens that not aliens that we don't really still know much about, and so on, just dealing in scrap metal and all sorts of other bits and pieces. The whole droid market, I'm still obsessed with.
It's so cool. Yeah.
And it's not just the market. It's everything was built, the production in it, who built that model, what does it do, and so on. Because I've written those things do a lot more than we even think they do. So all that aspect, I'm still utterly in love with. And I think generally most people give that entire part of the story a bit of a, you know, whatever. You know, take us to the Death Star, please.
It's something I've always loved about the Star Wars films is that they're readily compartmentalized, aren't they? You can sort of say, well, there's the Tatooine section, and there's the Hoth section, and there's Jabba's throne room section.
That's due to good environments.
It's just all sort of boxed out. So it is like when you pick up your favorite album and you jump straight to a specific track, you can do that with Star Wars. You can go straight in and know, I'm going to have a compartmentalized experience and still get something out of it. It's almost like watching a short series, like a TV series. You know, I'm with you. I love Tatooine, the original, in the original movie. I really did dig that. Mm-hmm. Quite special. Oh, that's great. Are we done? Has everyone had their thing?
Yeah, I think everybody's had a go.
Yeah. Steve's unpopular opinions are all of them, and his popular opinions are yet to be found.
His favourite was Avatar.
Yeah, he really likes the Navi.
His least favourite wasn't Avatar.
All right, let's move on to Nathan Roberts then. So Nathan sent us this really cool question this week. Paul, would you like to take this?
Yeah, no worries, mate. I'm on it. Okay, right. Hey, fellas. Tom, so about halfway through Life Debt. Oh, I'm not going to comment on this, I'm afraid, but anyway. And it's fantastic so far. There's an interlude set on Takodana, is that?
That's it.
That's pretty interesting. And it reveals some pretty unexpected things about Maz. But the bit where we're interested in is that at the end she has the castle droid prepare her ship. She wants to go out and get a better look and or understanding of what's going on in the galaxy. In brackets, this would be 6 months to a year after Return of the Jedi, when the New Republic and the fractured remnants of the Empire are fighting for domination. Close bracket. So my question is this, bearing in mind that I haven't finished the trilogy and haven't no idea yet if this thread is picked later or picked up later on, do you think that Maz may have found the Anakin Rey lightsaber herself on this jaunt across the galaxy? It would make sense that there would be time to tell that in the whole story in TFA, rather than that she just sent somebody to find it or bought it on eBay. Looking forward to your thoughts. I'll check back in if there are further developments as I continue my reading. May the Force be with you. Nathan Wan Kenobi. Thank you, sir. So,
Wan Kenobi.
Breakdown. Did Maz Kanata find the lightsaber herself? Now, can I just ask a question in this?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's written or fact or rumor or something, but isn't there a story about a rogue trooper finding it?
No, that's rumored to be the Vader lightsaber.
It's called The Perfect Weapon by
Delilah Estelson.
But it doesn't, it's not explicit that it's Vader's weapon. No, and comments from Pablo seem
description to, it seems
very much to me like it is. And this, I did a thing about it recently where I asked if that meant it was the first fracture in new canon, because Pablo sort of said don't expect to see Vader's weapon, it blew apart in the Death Star. But this story, I think there's only one way to read it, that the perfect weapon is about Vader's lightsaber. But that's another one of those unpopular opinions that I have.
Okay,
an unpopular Star Wars opinion, but
Luke's floating hand.
But Luke's lightsaber, I've put in there a little snippet from Wikipedia and a little quote from Maz, where Han says, "Where'd you get it?" And she said, "A good question for another time." So I think that we're probably going to see this covered somewhere else, probably in some of the connected materials, maybe a comic book series or maybe a later novel. But to my mind, and there's nothing in Wikipedia that suggests Maz did find this, even though Life Debt is out and done now. I don't think, in fact, the whole trilogy of Aftermath books are out and done now. And I think Wikipedia would have been updated to reflect if Maz was the one that found it. But I also think she's a premium character, and they tend to have things, a premium character tends to have stuff brought to them by a non-essential background character, don't they? So yeah. That can be a whole part of the exposition, is having this brought to them and an explanation how it got to them, rather than you have to go through an entire story leading your premium character into that situation. So My vote is no, I don't think she did, but I certainly think whoever found it knew exactly where to take it.
Cool. I didn't know if what you wanted to, you know.
No, but do you want to read that section from Wikipedia?
Yeah, sure. So for two decades, Kenobi kept his fallen apprentice's lightsaber before passing it down to Anakin's son, Luke Skywalker, who accepted the family heirloom along with the opportunity to become a Jedi Knight like his father before him. Luke would make use of the lightsaber both as a rebel freedom fighter and Jedi trainee until he lost it during an encounter with his father on Bespin. Approximately 30 years after the end of the Galactic Civil War, Skywalker's lightsaber was found by Rey on Takodana. By then, it had fallen into possession of Maz Kanata, who kept the weapon hidden in her castle prior to the Battle of Takodana.
So not a lot in there to indicate the nature of that exchange.
I find the use of the word found by Rey rather open to question. I don't think it was an accident that Rey stumbled upon it, rather than found it, if you like. Rey and Maz found it, and she's planted it to be discovered.
Yeah, Rey was drawn to it, wasn't she? The Kyber was calling to her, so she was drawn to it. It wasn't like she... Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you there. The way I'd interpret found would be, oh, what's this? But she actually went seeking it out.
Yeah.
It is semantics.
Maz in the background twiddling her moustache.
Yeah. But without a doubt, it's that crystal calling to Rey. I'm absolutely convinced of that. So what's your take? Do you think it could be Maz that went to Bespin and found this weapon? Or do you think it passed through several...
I like the idea. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funky. Alternatively, like you say, maybe it just came her way and went to one pair of hands and another and another and another. And then somebody said, "So, you know, you might need this one day." Who knows?
Rob?
I kind of like it, the idea that I kind of swing with the idea that she found it, obviously understood what it was, but she didn't go looking for it. She just kind of stumbled across it and went, oh, hang on, this looks important. Maybe, you know, took an eye out from somebody in her entourage, and it's just like, wow, that is important.
For him, anyway.
Yes, yeah.
It's got his name on the side with one of those stamper.
Property of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. If found, please return.
Indeed. To one Tatooine Lane, Tatooine, which is Obi-Wan's address.
Rancho Obi-Wan. Yeah.
You think Chewie wears a collar with that around his neck? If found, please return to Han Solo.
Yeah, he's got a little capsule
on his bandolier.
He's got a chip in the back of his neck.
He can't
please apply
chocolate.
Flea treatment every 90 days.
So every time he goes into the Falcon, the door goes whoosh because it reads his little barcode, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little door in the main door that opens because he's got a magnet on his bandolier.
That one's for hand. Look at the size of it.
Yeah, no, Rob's right. He's got a thing that says no chocolate and no grapes. Fatal to Wookiees.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just, you know, like the idea that Duquesne not only stole the Falcon, he also stole the collar as well.
Don't get him wet.
Insult to injury.
Chewbacca's roar at the beginnings. Finn's like, you can understand that thing? And actually what he said was, did you find a collar with this?
There should be a collar.
Have you checked the drawers?
It's pink, don't judge me.
Yeah, have you checked the drawers?
Right, are we done with Nathan's question?
I think so, yeah.
Nathan, thank you very much. And please, if you do unearth anything in future Chuck Wendig books, please let us know, because there's no way we're going to discover it on our own. Mark Airy's written into us.
Oh, I know him.
So he wanted us to speculate. So he says, what if Luke had turned to the dark side and killed his father, escaped from the Death Star with Palpacino, and Leia felt him turn to the dark side? Firstly, what would Luke's Sith name be, and would Leia kill Luke or try to get him back, and would she be strong enough to train as a Jedi? That's it for this week. Cheers, Mark. So what do we think? Well, let's have a speculate about what Luke's Sith name could be. Is there really... Can you work this out? Is there a formula to Sith names?
I
guess there kind of is, right? I mean, Maul is, because the guy is just like a brawler, he's kind of a pit bull.
Yeah.
And he will maul you if he gets hold of you. That's kind of straightforward.
Tyrannus
is a tyrant.
Vader's.
Yeah.
Sidious is insidious and very, very secretive.
Mm-hmm.
Vader, is that obviously father?
No.
Didn't he choose Darth Vader?
He wasn't the father then, was he? Like, he was still kind of expecting. I suppose Darth pregnant. Be a little bit. Yeah.
Darth Padre.
Darth Padre. I don't know, you know. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Son of Vader.
Rageous.
Darth Rageous.
Yeah.
I think that gets my vote.
Yeah.
Because Luke's fall from grace would be outrageous.
Yeah.
He didn't fall from grace, did he? Oh, I know, you're going down the other path.
This is speculative, isn't it?
Infinities.
Darth Rageous, that is absolutely genius. That gets my vote completely. Darth Lukey Poops, that would have been mine, but I think Darth Rageous
sort of
trumps it.
That would have been his dog's name.
Darth Fluffy Wuffy
Kid. In his little handbag. Yeah, he's got teeny weeny... Chihuahua Wookie.
You
can't go out again.
I don't know what would Luke's name be.
Stop leaving me little parcels all over the place. Of the picture.
I mean, Snoke's not a Snoke. A Snoke's not a Darth, is he?
We don't know yet.
No, well, we don't know if he's a Sith. So,
okay.
So we don't know. He might have a Darth name if he is a Sith, but you get the impression they've sort of taken a step away from the Sith in the same way that the Jedi might be sort of being stepped away from.
Mm.
Yeah. He's dragging his ass on the carpet again.
is Luke anything to do with Lucas?
Luke S.
I think it might be.
It's pretty clear, yeah. Luke S. Darth George. that'll learn him.
Sorry, that took me a while.
Well, about 40 years, Paul. Give or take. Can we all agree that Darth Rageous is the only way that can go?
Yeah.
Or Darth Fabulous.
Darth Fabulous.
With his rainbow Darth bloody lightsaber.
Yeah.
Put on the shorty robe and get it on.
Give us a swish around.
Darth Takai. Ooh. My.
Ooh.
let's go with Darth Rageous. Yeah, let's go with Darth Rageous. Mark, that's genius. All right. Would Leia be strong enough to take to train as a Jedi and take him down?
No, she's got mild to moderate Jedi sensitivity at best, not even skills.
Yeah. I think there's room to loophole this, but Rob, yeah,
I think you could loophole it and say, you know, the problem is everybody who could possibly teach her anything is dead.
True. But that doesn't really stop. I mean, presumably Obi-Wan gave Luke the 101 after
after Snuffin.
Do you not think that he was guiding him? I mean, in the Death Star run, he was there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Giving him guidance spiritually. Yeah. So could he have given Luke a guidance that got him the basic skill set he needed to go on to Dagobah? You know, we see Luke use the Force to grab that lightsaber out of the snow, don't we, on Hoth. Yeah. So presumably those skills had to come from some sort of education. Maybe that was Obi-Wan. So they could have, Yoda and Obi-Wan could have trained Leia from beyond the grave if need be.
Yeah.
So Steve, did you see this message in the group? Steve just sent a message to say that he'd come on to say that he wasn't coming on because he's only just got in and was going to have dinner.
Oh, come on.
Podcasting even, beginner.
What even are you at this point, Steve? You're a caricature of a man. And I know he won't hear this, so it doesn't matter.
Genius. What's this picture? We'll get back into the thing in a minute. Steven Ware is typing. Paul, you're still with us. You're very quiet.
Yeah, in body.
Let's just laugh. Let's just laugh at Steve.
Darth Starkiller.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
I like it.
Ooh. That's cool. I like that.
I know.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty nifty.
So I'm going to offer up this argument. Leia probably wouldn't be strong enough, if she trained as a Jedi, she wouldn't be strong enough to beat Luke on a level playing field if they both met as trained Jedi.
But, son, I know where you're going with this.
The compassion element.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would definitely win over. She'd be able to reach whatever was left of Luke inside Darth Rages. Yeah. But if that was a thing, if it was Luke v. Leia, that would give her the advantage, I think. Even though she wouldn't be much in the way of a contender in terms of raw power, she would
could have been a contender.
Yeah. Your Leia's not very good. That needs work.
No, it's true, yeah. Hoo-wah.
That was great. All right, have we covered everything in Mark's question? Would she kill him? No.
No. No. No, just like he couldn't kill his dad.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No.
Great question, though. Darth.
It is a good question.
Darth Rages. Superb.
Yeah.
That should be the episode name. It's not going to be, but it should be.
Yeah, it's too much of a giveaway, I think.
Yeah. Okay, last one then. Paul, did you want to take Matt's tweet?
That's cool. Right. Matt Keegan asks, based on their personalities, you must cast your co-hosts in a Star Wars movie. Who do they play?
Right, let's do one each. Let's do a round table. So we'll start. Rob, you do Paul. Paul, you do Steve. Oh, no, we won't do. We'll all do Steve, but Rob, you do Paul. Well, Paul, you do me, and I'll do Rob.
Okay. So Paul, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean,
it doesn't have to be a caricature situation.
I was going to say, Jawa's too easy, isn't it? Yeah.
That's the low-hanging fruit.
I think Lobot's a good shout.
Oh, no, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Like I said, it doesn't have to be a caricature situation.
Yeah. Lobot's a good one, I think. You could do that. You could pull that off, I think. Like a Lobot like a Lobot prequel where he's still got more of his faculties. There's one thing I'll say about you, Paul. You are a man with basic faculties.
Very basic faculties. Yeah.
And I love him like a brother, folks.
Paul? Are you done? You're done, Rob. Lobot, your final answer.
Okay, I didn't mean to make it sound like I had more to say. Yeah, sorry.
I approve.
All right.
Mark, you're Qui-Gon.
Oh, I definitely approve of that. I'm going to grow a beard. Boom.
But if you don't.
Oh, stop doing an impression of me. I'm going to make Rob K2SO for size.
That's a good shout, man.
Size alone, but also the sardonic sort of wit.
No, but and they've got exactly the same head.
That's right. Yeah.
And now so true. We're going to make Steve Cassian Andor, and Rob, you're snookered. You get to spend eternity with Steve.
Oh, come on.
Naked Cassian.
I choose death.
I'm sorry, I didn't table another option. All right, let's each pitch one in for Steve then. Slave Leia would be mine. Almost naked.
Naked, yeah. No, Steve's the Wumper.
But doesn't he eat meat in that thing?
Oh, he does.
No, it's definitely not Steve.
It's just this lumbering thing that gets in the way.
He's actually killed a Sawyer Tauntaun.
Steve's Yoda.
He's a Tauncorn.
He lives in the elements. He loves the elements. He likes nature around him, regardless of the condition it's in. That's Steve. He's Yoda.
Corn.
I like that.
That is true. Yeah, building little muddy bee habitats everywhere. Yeah, I'm on board with that. Rob, naked Steve, cast away.
Well, sir.
The concept has killed Rob's brain.
What am I supposed to be doing? Sorry.
Casting
Steve.
Oh, casting Steve.
Yeah,
sorry.
We're all casting
sorry.
Steve.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I'm buying time now. Sorry. Sorry.
That's a lot of stories.
I would cast him as the stormtrooper in New Hope who said, "Stop that ship, blast them." Because, and I would let him improvise the line with curses in.
That would be extraordinary. If you're ready to bleep,
I can tell you what the line would be.
Yeah, go on then.
Stop that ship. F*** them up.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nicely done. What a great question. Thanks, Keigo. So
frantically getting the notebook out, going time code.
I'm just time coding an entire section just in case. That was brilliant. Mr. Keegan, you are a genius. Oh, that's brilliant. Right, okay. Well, we got through that part of the show really, really quickly, which brings us to our break. Let's have a quick break, and when we come back, we'll jump straight into Connor's Corner. If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, you can do so by becoming a TSW sponsor. For as little as £1 per month, given securely via PayPal, you'll help us keep the lights on here at Talk Star Wars. When you become a TSW sponsor, we will automatically make you a TSW VIP. As a VIP, you'll get access to an exclusive stream of content that provides you with a daily podcast called the TSW Kessel Run, membership to the TSW VIP Facebook group, priority releases of shows such as the TSW Toy Box and TSW Comics. You'll also get priority access to the TSW Feature Com series and weekly Facebook Live and AMA sessions. There are also newsletters and a monthly prize draw. Head to talkstarwars.co.uk/support and become a TSW sponsor today, and the Force will be with you always.
And we're back. So you've just heard about how you can become a TSW VIP by going to talkstarwars.co.uk/support. Now, for instance, some of the perks that includes, we just did a fantastic interview with podcast superstar Steel Saunders from Steel Wars on the TSW Toy Box, and you would have got that as soon as it was ready rather than a few days later. So you'd get a little bit of a lead on the coolest stuff we produce. So one of the people who's taken the plunge is Connor, and he seems to be pretty content with it because he's written in ever since. So as is customary, after we hear about the VIP program, it's time for Connor's Corner featuring Leo. So Connor writes thusly. I have a confession to make, my friends. I've been so busy in my new job that I haven't listened to the last three shows.
What?
Anyway, thanks for that, Connor. I'm truly sorry, but I'm rectifying this inexcusable behavior by listening to episode 74, Ray's New Lightsaber, as I'm typing this on my phone. We do make our episodes sound like How Stella Got Her Groove Back kind of titles, don't we, sometimes? Ray gets a new lightsaber.
That is my thing.
How Luke got his groove back.
That's the next episode.
So I hope you gents forgive me. I just had to confess. I'm sorry. So now that I've got that off my chest, here goes. The Rogue One trailer contained loads of footage that didn't make the final cut. Now, I've just read that the new Spider-Man Homecoming film has been criticized for footage not in the final cut of the film. But this has not seemed to damage the film, as it reviewed really well, as did Rogue One. This, to me, is a worrying trend from the studios. Surely it's only a matter of time before a film comes out that's going to suffer the backlash of this, as it was nowhere near the film we saw trailed. I know this isn't a new thing in cinema, but is this something we as movie lovers should be concerned about? Take the Last Jedi trailer, for instance. Are some of the awesome scenes and or dialogue elements we will never see or hear on the silver screen? Anyway, thanks, guys. I have to get back to work now. Take care of yourselves, and as always, may the Force be with you. All right, let me just get into character. This email was brought to you by Cool Stark Acting Academy. We can get on the screen, but will you stay there?
Nice.
TFA showed stuff that we didn't see, didn't it? So,
couple of odds and sods, yeah.
Yeah.
I see, the thing about this is, now I've not worked on a movie, but I have worked on long-term projects. And I happen to know that a lot of the time, if you were to take a project, for example, like one of the projects I work on, and you were to take a snapshot of, you know, let's say take a video or a picture or something of it in that stage, and then compare it to the final product, it would be very, very different because things change.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be wary of sticking too strictly to the idea that you have to, everything that's in the trailer has to be in the movie, because then you might knock out something that's even better. Well, somebody liked that so much they passed out. So I don't know, is the answer. I understand the hesitation about it, because obviously it does end up with it does end up running the risk that somebody will abuse it. At the same time, people who make rubbish movies, or the movies that don't, let's say not rubbish movies is a horrible way of putting it, people who make the movies that don't score so well critically and don't do so well at the box office have never let the fact that the stuff's in the movie stop them from making a good trailer and then a not as good a film.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that the change in tone in terms of what's in the final cut versus what's not will actually make that profound a difference, because like I say, the number of times people have had a trailer that makes the movie look great and then it's not lived up to the expectation. I mean, the jump off the top of my head, Assassin's Creed is the most recent example I can think of. I knew people who saw that and thought it looked great. I don't know if they went on to like the film, but I know it didn't do so well critically. So, yeah.
Obvious example is Superman.
Man of Steel, you mean?
Yeah. Man of Steel.
It was an
amazing trailer.
I liked Man of Steel. Phenomenal. Okay. I didn't actually see the trailer, so I don't know. Yeah, I liked the Man of Steel movie. Okay. Maybe I went in with no expectations.
I don't know how much of that disparity was due to additional content in the Man of Steel trailer, but there was definitely something missing from the feature that worked in the trailer. They got a tone in the trailer. But then that vanished.
The pacing, maybe.
It might have been the pacing, It could have been, you know, you're only seeing teeny tiny little snapshots of elements, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, Force Awakens, we saw next to nothing.
Yeah, and the thing about The Force Awakens is I left The Force Awakens, obviously loved the movie because I'm a Star Wars zombie, so I'm going to. But then it took me days, and it took a conversation with someone for me to realise, that thing with Maz handing the lightsaber to Leia, that wasn't in the film.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting there ticking off. If you're sitting in a movie ticking off trailer moments, that movie is guilty of more sins than not having that footage in. I've just seen a couple of days ago, I've just seen Spider-Man Homecoming, something that Connor's referenced in the question. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I did not once notice anything that was missing from the trailers. And I've seen a ton of trailers. I didn't notice anything because I was so caught up in the film, and the film moved at such a clip. And I loved it, by the way. It moved so rapidly, and there was so much in there to love that I didn't notice. I couldn't tell you now what was missing, and I've got no interest in it. But if you're sitting there checking off trailer moments, that film's guilty of a multitude of sins before you even worry about what was missing.
Because you're so bored, you should be engaged.
Admin. Yeah, and with Rogue One, that's slightly different because that was almost a sport by the time that film came out, wasn't it? 40% of the movie's been reshoot. There's tons of stuff missing. So, of course, we're all there waiting for it to happen. I didn't notice it with Force Awakens. I didn't notice it with Spider-Man Homecoming, two examples. I don't think it's anything to worry about at all. I think people can use, like you said, Rob, with a long-term project, as these things change and evolve, in the first teaser, feel free to show me something. If you want to just show me the logo on screen and have some cheesy voice guy talk over it like they did 40 years ago with Star Wars A New Hope, then do it. That's fine. You just need to deliver on opening night with the feature. Up to then, you can show me whatever you want. I'm either going to like the movie or I'm going to hate it. And if it,
well, this is exactly it, isn't it? The other thing as well is, you know, the movie is not, like I say, the trailer's quality and the movie's quality are completely distinct. Number of times a comedy movie trailer comes out and all the best bits are in the trailer.
Yeah.
You can't say the movie's good again. Yeah, and then you don't feel like the movie's good, even though it's the same number of jokes as in the trailer, but it's not spread out over an hour and a half.
Yeah, and you've already laughed at them because you can only experience something for the first time once, can't you? So when you see that Falcon do that barrel roll in The Force Awakens, the effect of, or another good example is Darth Maul igniting that double-ended lightsaber. Yeah. You can only see that once. If you see that in the trailer, the wow moment's gone. If you can save yourself for the film, then great. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the rules of the industry are that you got to get people into the theatres anyway. And then you do that with a certain amount of the wow, and you hope that you can offset a few wows for when they're in there.
Yeah.
And a film that doesn't do that, it's got bigger problems than whether or not it's shown you something in the trailer that isn't in the final cut.
Yeah.
So my answer would be no, I'm not worried, and I don't think you should be concerned about that either.
Did you have a chance to weigh in on this one?
No, I mean, I'm not especially worried about it, but I mean, to be honest, it goes the other way with me. It just makes me a little more excited to see what there might be in a director's cut. So, yeah. I mean, I'm we're talking about the likes, dislikes. I am screaming to see the original version of Rogue One with all those bits and pieces put in. I'd love that.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen, and they're wrong to do that. But there you go. That's a solo opinion. No pun intended. The other thing is, though, with things like trilogy situations, I have no problem with them putting a snippet in the trailer that might appear in the film after the one you're going to see either. You might even see Luke's hand rest on R2 in the next film. You might even see Maz pass the lightsaber over to Leia in the weirdest of circumstances. We just don't know yet, do we? So, I quite like the idea of a really, you know, a really long-term taster, you know, taster being thrown out there. So,
I'm not worried. I've been racking my brains while we've been talking to think of the teaser trailer that I saw that didn't contain footage from the film, and I'm pretty sure it's JJ's. Was it 2009 Star Trek?
Okay,
where you had Leonard Nimoy doing the space, the Final Frontier dialogue over the scene of the saucer of the Enterprise being fabricated.
Okay,
and I'm pretty sure that was just something filmed for the trailer. I don't think that was actually in the movie. It was just like a bunch of people welding the saucer and him speaking.
Yeah.
And I don't object to those things. I wouldn't object to a stylistic mini movie being made for a film that captures the tone, especially when it's a property that you will identify readily.
That's the thing as well, is the job of a trailer is not to give you a taste of the film, it's to build your excitement for the film.
Mm, yeah.
Ultimately. I mean, I'm saying, with the caveat that there are limits to these things. They can't just, like, you know, if the Star Trek thing was just like, you know, loads of bits from, people would have been miffed if it was loads of bits from the old series to build up hype.
Yeah.
If it was just a teaser, that's different. But if it's a proper trailer and it's using old film footage that's not going to be in the cut anywhere, that's a little bit different.
Yeah. As long as you're not willfully misleading.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Awesome. Okay, unfortunately, Steve hasn't jumped in yet, so we can't get his take on this. But have we said everything we need to say on this subject, gents?
I have.
I think we've pretty much, had quite firm sort of opinions on that. In fact, I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see more bespoke trailers that don't contain anything. That would please a lot of people, I think. Do you not think that people too often come out saying, well, just seen the entire arc of the film. Don't need to see the film now. That's the most common thing I hear. Don't need to see that film.
Yeah.
You feel like you've got a condensed version of it in like 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Well, Spider-Man Homecoming had that for me because it felt like I got the whole plot in the single trailer.
Yeah.
I'll still see it, but that's an exception rather than
the rule. You need some arc.
Yeah.
I want to know a reasonable idea what I'm going to go and see.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, there is, you know, like there are... to me, there's a certain amount you can give over willingly without it becoming like, oh wow, okay, I'm just seeing the film now. Maybe like hold back a little.
I think there are some franchises that are so indelible that you can probably get away with teasing them in such a way that you know. I'm thinking sort of Star Wars is one. The Jurassic World, Jurassic Park franchise is probably another. Terminator and something like Jaws. If they were to make another Jaws movie today, not remake, I'm absolutely against that, but if they were to do another Jaws movie today and they just showed that the camera sort of half submerged in water and play Williams' theme, you wouldn't have to show, you could do that as a, like an announcement trailer almost. It actually broadcasts precisely what you need to know about that, what that is, right? You don't even need to do anything else with it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are franchises that are bigger than the trailers.
Yeah.
You don't really need to decant anything because you know people are going to see it. There's going to be instant product recognition and they're going to go anyway. So.
Anything Marvel or Planet of the Apes would do it as well.
Yeah. I mean, with Marvel, it's such a broad spectrum of properties involved in that thing now that you might want to nail down precisely what character you're trailering because there's so much, you know, you got, at the moment we've got sort
the
of...
The title normally gives that away.
Yeah, that's true, yeah, that is true. Yeah, just a title card, that's all. Mm. All right, let's wrap that one up
all
then.
All 36, guess what was out.
Thank you very much, Connor and Leo, for your question. And Connor, get caught up, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, sort it out, mate. I mean, get it together.
Yeah, that's just rude.
What are you doing?
For goodness sake.
Let's get on with some Star Wars news. It's just a couple of bits tonight, and then we're going to be able to get into our Get to Know Your Host section. So, Star Wars cons. Star Wars will not have a presence at San Diego Comic-Con this year, beyond the stalls and things that are on the floor. There will be no panels. But there could be some... this could be because they're going to have a presence, or they're going to have more Star Wars stuff at D23. I'm not sure. Is D23 before or after Comic-Con? It's after, right? Is it Comic-Con this week? Is it Speederbike Tournament this week? I'll say that's a big yes.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's, if it's not now, it's relatively soon. San Diego Comic-Con is...
I think it might be this weekend.
I think it might be. It's very soon. Well, that's not much help. You'd think they'd put the dates up that we got. Come on, a picture of a toucan and a t-shirt. Yeah, really helpful. I want to know when it is. Rubbish. Anybody from SDCC is listening. The collaborator panels are the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. So, it'd be Thursday the 20th till the 23rd.
D23 is a week before then. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, they're going to beat the press cycle considerably by having Star Wars at D23 then.
Yeah.
Okay, that's superb. So, I suspect that they'll have everything they've got will be said and done.
Yeah.
Before Comic-Con even kicks off. So, what will be left to be said in panels there? Nothing.
Well, indeed, you know.
I think last year, if I'm not very much mistaken, last year we were at Celebration Europe and we saw the Rogue One panel and we saw the trailer and we saw they had this magnificent display of costumes, Baze and Chirrut's costumes, Cassian, Jyn. You had two Death Trooper costumes and Krennic's costume. Rob, you'd have loved that.
I'll bet.
But the Comic-Con... they had the reveal of two tubes. So they'd held something back from Celebration just so they could reveal it at Comic-Con. There might be something like that on the floor this year because there wasn't. I don't think there were any panels last year either.
Okay.
From Lucasfilm. But they might have something on the floor that sort of reveals a bit more from Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Than they do at D23. So they might hold something back. But in terms of panels, I don't think we're missing anything. I think it'll all be said and done by then.
Mm.
Are you expecting much from D23, Rob? Are you expecting much in the way of Han Solo talk?
There might be a little bit, maybe just an update, a kind of, you know, almost like a tone poem. In terms of getting a feel for how things are going. So maybe we'll get an indication there as to whether or not there might be a delay because maybe they need to do more filming than they thought or something like that. You know, we'll get a sense, I think, from over the course of it, we'll get a sense of how it's going and what the sort of the overall kind of opinion is and the feeling, the sort of the vibe among the sort of the top brass. That's the most I think we can expect.
I would think... I would be very surprised if we didn't have a live from the set greeting from Ron Howard.
Okay.
I can imagine him saying, look, next year's movie, you know, is going to be Han Solo. And here to tell us a little bit about it is Ron Howard, and he's going to be like, yeah, all right, mate, it's me from Happy Days. I'm directing this film. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
Maybe is a little clip of the sort of thing you can expect, and we'll see some of those pod cars racing or whatever. And it will be such a business as usual tone that it might actually start to calm people down a little bit. And it won't be any of those. No, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to mention it in case
accidentally. Do you still think people are apprehensive then? Because I feel like everybody's calmed down a bit.
No, No, I don't think that they're. I don't think that people are apprehensive. I think most people are very positive about it. I still heard. I heard comments on a podcast I listened to. I think yesterday or the day before. That was from the end of June.
Right.
Where the guys were sort of saying, it all just happened, it all just played out, and the guys on this podcast were saying, can't believe Ron Howard's getting involved. Why would Ron Howard be getting involved in a film that's almost shot? But we know that things have kind of played out a little bit since then, so maybe their opinions have changed. But I think that's kind of the deal now, that people are wondering why this established filmmaker is picking up a project that's all but finished. But I think that's kind of... in our sort of circles, that's gone away, isn't it? That any of those questions have gone, and we're just all kind of excited to see what he does now.
Yeah.
Which is why it's perfect timing at D23 to show us what he's doing or show us what his position is.
Yeah.
Are you back with us, Paul?
Yeah, sorry about that.
I wanted to ask a quick question. Did you guys see the little video clip that Ron Howard released on his Twitter?
Put some stuff in a bin.
Yeah. What do you mean? What is there to read into that, if anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
You don't think be that guy. That's it. Don't be that guy.
But why put it out?
Because no, it's a
because
it's
you
a
can. Because you can. Just to let you know, I'm here.
It's a gag, and he's there. Yeah, exactly. It's a gag, he's and he's also there to know that he's actually there.
Yeah, there's no kyber crystals in the box, Mark. I promise.
But we'd seen the tweet of him on the set, the soundstage, like the bottled water, the monitor headphones on top of a stack of what looked like maybe a shot list or something. It wasn't a script because it wasn't read. But it was on top of like a stack of paper, maybe a shot list. We'd seen that. It's sort of announcing his arrival. I'm here. This is what I can show you. This is the only shot I can show you or something like that. And then there's that short video of him throwing out the rubbish. And I didn't know whether there was something. Was he being deliberately provocative?
I think if he's even thought about it, that is deliberate provocation. He's trolling. And actually, funnily enough, I saw a few people say, like, you know, cue the articles reading into this and like
but to be honest, why not? He's putting his stamp on things early in a really bizarre way, and he's allowed to do that.
He was trolling, and that's every reference I'd read to it was Ron Howard can't stop himself trolling from the set of Han Solo. It was very, you know, they were very open about what he was doing. Was he was making fun of us as the viewing sort of fan community, and I just wondered if, I mean, I accept that at face value. But there is only one way to read that video clip, and that is him throwing out the rubbish. And that, to me, even though we can agree he was trolling, and yes, we should read too much into it.
You're talking about throwing out the rubbish.
I'm talking about throwing out the rubbish.
Okay, that took me a minute as well. 4 years that took me.
I still think there's nothing. I don't think there's anything to it.
Well, I hope not. It's kind of mean-spirited. If it was just the thing where he's saying, you know, I'm not afraid to throw out the stuff that doesn't work, then fine.
Yeah,
I think he's just saying, I'm on the set.
yeah, have some of that. I'm Ron Howard.
Maybe you should have thought it through. Maybe just think that one through just a little bit more. If you want to show us you're on the set by making a cup of tea, and that you can't read into it, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, if he'd have taken a turd, I mean, for crying out loud.
it's definitely a thing, though, whether we like it or not, whether it was done to troll, which I think is kind of mean-spirited, or if it's been done to broadcast the fact that he's not afraid to make his mark on this film. I'm not sure that it was well judged either way.
Maybe he's just having a bit of fun.
Yes, definitely that. Definitely. And I think largely at our expense, but you know, I'm happy with that, if that's the case.
You've still watched it 412 times.
Looking for kyber crystals. That's what I'm doing. All right. Nothing from The Last Jedi to report this week.
I just sent something.
But there. What did you send? Let me have a look.
You guys ever watched the chat?
No, I don't. I find it distracting.
Oh, well, we've
already covered.
Only if I notice something.
We've covered that story from Trevorrow about how he's... The worst thing about making a Star Wars film.
I'm talking about the last thing I just posted. The very last thing I just posted.
That was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
D23. Yeah.
No, after that.
Oh, the trailer could be could be shown D23.
With
Spider-Man Homecoming. If it is planned, it's not happening at the moment. I can tell you that much. But yeah, I mean, there's no after D23. Maybe it will hit Spider-Man for the second week in release. but there's nothing at the moment. Is Spider-Man released in the US yet? I know Ash has seen it from Skyhoppers.
I think it might be tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right. So we're a couple of days ahead in the UK.
Oh, hang on a minute. We already know some people have seen it.
Yeah, you get... you know how... I mean, this is how it works, basically, is the official release date is Friday, but we always get preview screenings.
And it wouldn't be the same trailer set.
Not necessarily. They tend to be... am I right in thinking, Mark, they still tend to run a shorter trailer set for the preview screenings now?
It depends.
Like half length or something.
If they're Midnight 01, films will run without. If they're advanced releases, like 2 days before, like we've done, the film was released with its full trailer set.
Oh, okay.
And the allocations for that film are already planned.
Yeah.
And at the moment, there's no Last Jedi. So it's just might be that IMAX will incorporate the Last Jedi trailer into the second week release.
Yeah.
And we know that this 90-second trailer has already been cleared by the BBFC, so it could be a second week release debut, which will sync up nicely with D23, so they'll be able to reveal the thing ceremoniously. But Spider-Man will run for a week without any sign of Star Wars on. I can guarantee that. but I can't tell you how. Okay, let's move on to the Han Solo, A Star Wars Story anthology adventure news. Will Jabba the Hutt be in a Han Solo movie? Now, this was something that I forget. I didn't even put a source link in. I'm not sure where it came from. But we've kind of been speculating a couple of weeks ago that this might be a thing, right? That we'd see Han and Jabba's relationship.
It makes sense.
So my question to you is, if we get Jabba the Hutt, who else will we get?
Hondo?
Ooh.
Maybe as a background character. I don't think he'd be a main player, but I wonder if I have this funny feeling there might be a sort of a period where Han can't get work and he might run into a few familiar faces in passing. X-Men First Class, where they sort of go through and recruit people in a little montage thing, and obviously they get the Wolverine. They get the answer from Wolverine. So I kind of like the idea of something like that, where this, you know, Jabba's the only one who'll take him on after trying a few different people, and maybe Hondo is one of the people he tries.
I love this idea. I love it. What about Cad Bane as well? So it'll be a way to do what Star Wars has been doing in the previous movies, which is introduce things that we haven't seen before, sort of varieties of aliens that we're not familiar with.
Yeah.
But it will also be a deep cut for real fans. Not real fans, but, you know, people that are invested. Like, Paul, you wouldn't know Cad Bane.
I think I kind of know the name.
Or Hondo and Anakin. You couldn't pick them out of a lineup, right? So if they popped up on a film, you'd sort of say, oh, that's just another couple of cool bounty hunters. But to us, because we're invested enough in that expanded universe material to say, oh, I know who that guy is. I've just read that guy in a comic book.
And I think we discussed how I certainly think so. And I think I think everybody was kind of with me on it, that's the kind of fan service they should be doing. It shouldn't be these massive, clumsy retcons. It should be little blink and you'll miss it for most people. But for, you know, the super fans, there's something there, something extra there.
Yeah,
that allows you to sort of take a little bit more away from it.
And it would be really nice as well if they lay the foundations there to tell the story. If they just, you know, if you, like you say, Han is moving around in the underworld and he crosses paths with Cad Bane or Hondo and Arca or all of them.
Yeah.
And then they do a Boba Fett movie or they do a Bounty Hunter movie. And when we get to that movie, those are more central characters.
Mm-hmm.
So you could really lay in... you could really make fans of those characters anticipate their arrival in their own film by seeding them in the Han Solo movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we know those characters are still operating, right? They come out of the Clone Wars and they're still out there. I mean, by the time we get to Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, they're still active. So it will be years before they pop up in Star Wars Rebels. So it's completely safe ground to have those characters involved. And they work really well as like the fan service, the really juicy Easter eggs, but also could seed the next project, the next standalone film quite nicely. Yeah. It'd be a good way for the filmmakers to gauge just how well they'll be received, wouldn't it? If people sort of go mental for these neat and tidy little Easter eggs. What a great idea, Rob.
Mm. There you go.
Okay, so this is our new section that we're going to use on Slow News Weeks, which I expect will be kind of frequent in the kind of what I've been referring to as the off season. So I've had to think of new things to do on the Kessel Run during the off season because obviously there's not a lot and you end up going over the same thing. So I thought we'd do something that I'm stealing this idea from one of my favourite podcasts called The Cult of Mac, where they have a thing at the end of some of their episodes called Getting to Know Your Cultist. But because we're Talk Star Wars, I've had to call
most it... Most cult. Just lazy grammar.
Getting to Know Your Host. So I thought it might be a good idea if we kick this section off tonight just by talking about what our favourite Star Wars films are and why, and then we can hand it over to the Talk Star Wars listeners. And if they want to know anything about us, it doesn't have to necessarily just be about Star Wars. It can be about other things that like I mentioned on the Kessel Run to the VIPs that, Rob, you've got a lot going on at E14, and Paul, we've got the Hindsight script going on, so it might be interesting for people to learn a little bit about some of our other projects. So the ball is in your court. If you want to throw stuff in, we'll file it away, and then when we have a slow week for news, we will stick in a new question to get to know your host. But let's kick this one off this week with which Star Wars film is your favourite and why? And Paul, we will start with you, sir.
Do you think you know the answer to this one?
Probably. Force Awakens, because you fell in love with it immediately.
No.
A New Hope?
I'm going to call it by its first name. I've never heard of A New Hope. I've heard of a film called Star Wars and that I went to see when I was probably about 8 years old. And it was one of those situations where people had known about this this movie bubbling up and, wow, have you seen this? Have you seen that? And he's like, I've seen a poster, but I don't know about this. And America had already had it and we were getting ready for Christmas and so on. And then one night, I think my dad came home from work. He's like, we're all going to the cinema. And I was like, wow. Because it only happened once in a blue moon. The whole family went to the cinema to see something that was family worthy sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we're going to do Star Wars. Like, whoa, really? And that was the days where, you know, you went, you queued. Even as a family, you queued. And we got there. It was like, you've got to be kidding. But we got in, all
outdoors
of us.
Outdoors as well, Paul. Was it outdoors?
All five of us. No, it was Chatham ABC, mate.
Yeah, but did you queue outside?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I remember from
with
that
the elements and stuff, and it was quite cold, because like I say, it was winter.
Yeah.
And all I can say is the next, 2 hours or whatever, because adverts were lesser back in those days, the next 2 hours or so.
There's only about eight films.
Was the superlative of story, escapism, fantasy, realm, and what I call musical excellence, basically. Every facet of the film utterly blew me away in every way, shape, or form, where I had to be Luke now. I got to be Luke now, or my life is not worth living, and so on and so forth. I was whistling the tune all the way home, and, you know, 3 weeks later, even a disco version got to number one in the UK charts. It was just crazy. This steamrolling comet come through movie culture and pop culture at that time, to be honest. And I've never forgotten it, I never will. It's the best by quite some margin from a point of view, I think, of experience. I know Empire might be technically a better screenplay and a better delivered story and certainly darker and more atmospheric than that. But for me, Star Wars itself is virtual perfection, simple as. Love every facet of it. You know, the Tatooine stuff, obviously, I talk about all the time, but little things as well. You see the Falcon being pulled into the Death Star. The music to that is just mind-blowing. It's phenomenal, this enormous heavy build-up. And the caricature of themes as you go through the film told a story completely all of its own, but it went side by side along with what the story was doing at the same time. And it was just escapist perfection. It was Knights of the Round Table. It was witches, wizards. What wasn't witches? It was wizards. It was swordplay. It was pirates, all that kind of thing. Just set, like you say, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And hardly bettered, period. Hardly ever bettered. And there you go.
Closest thing to magic for kids.
Yeah, it was. And adults to some degree, to be honest, you know. It's one of those situations. I can watch it, obviously, on certain, let's say, movie providers anytime I want. But if it was on BBC Two tonight, I'd watch, man.
Yeah.
I'd sit and watch. If it's part of the scheme of the timeline as you go on, it's like, oh, great, that'll do. I might not choose to watch it on, one of the providers, like I say, tomorrow night, which I could in a heartbeat. But, if it was on this evening when I went downstairs and, oh, I'm going to quickly watch something for 5 minutes with a cup of decaf or something. If it was on, I'd probably watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There you go. It's beautiful.
Wonderful. Bless. High praise. Well worthy high praise as well, I think. Nice.
That was beautiful. That was lovely. I really enjoyed listening to that. I haven't done my list in a while. Difficult. The top of my list has always historically been Empire, because as I've got older, I've appreciated the darker tone in cinemas, in middle films more. But with that said, speaking of darker tones, I'm really finding it hard not to think about Rogue One in the connection of my favourite.
Oh, really? So it's soon? Tough.
It's really just hit a massive chord with me. I don't know what it is in particular that I can. There's nothing I can put my finger on specifically, but it's just really struck a chord with me, that film. And, you know, obviously it's subjective, and some people are just not going to get anywhere near out of it as what I do. But, I mean, obviously I love the villains because they're wonderfully, deliciously evil, and they're all stitching each other up, which I like.
That's brilliant. That's a great quality about a Star Wars villain, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Mendo does that really well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he really does. Much love for the Mendo. But yeah, I think generally I'm finding it hard not to think about Rogue One in connection with this question. But yeah, Empire has always been top. But now I'm going to say there is a good chance. That's a good answer. That'll work as an answer. There's a good chance it will be Rogue One in the not too distant future.
That's really surprising, and not because I have any negative thoughts towards Rogue One. I love it. I absolutely love that movie. I think it just did everything it tried to do so well. I was actually listening to the soundtrack this morning, and I just think Giacchino is perfect, a perfect successor to the maestro.
That's another thing as well, is it's really good. Generally, just everything works in together. It's a good composite. As films go, in terms of putting together all the different elements and having it just work together. Especially there's a few that, you know, we didn't think it was going to work because we'd heard about reshoots and it was hard not to think about them, and the music wasn't John Williams, and it all still worked.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you completely. I think it's a wonderful film. It's definitely up there for me as well in the rankings. Probably not going to be installed anytime soon at the top of my list, but it's certainly, for a film that's just come out and to be such an experimental movie as well, in terms of breaking the strict mold that Star Wars has established with no opening crawl and none of the wipes.
Yeah, I like that.
It was kind of from the get-go, it deliberately set out to say, we are not your usual Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Even though everything that makes Star Wars was there. It used all of the Star Wars parts.
Yeah, and made something new and
exciting and wonderful.
So, yeah, and managed to live up to the, you know, being worthy of the title of a Star Wars film.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. Good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it looks like you won't be getting to know all your hosts tonight because we still haven't had Stephen back yet. But I'm going to go with Empire. Now, I've said before that the top two positions on my list are interchangeable, and they rarely change depending on what mood I'm in. Because, Paul, I'm with you in terms of A New Hope, Star Wars as we know it, being pure magic, and the way it got hold of me as a child and changed me completely. I am the person I am today because of Star Wars in 77 or 78 when I saw it. It was.
It's got a lot to answer for.
A hell of a lot to answer for. Some of it might, even by a few, be considered almost positive. Good. but I think the only thing that surpassed Star Wars for me as a kid was Empire. Probably not surpassed, that's not true, but you know, like,
it was a different experience, wasn't it?
We know now as cynical adults that it's rarely, and I had this conversation with Jeremy Rowling today, it's rarely ever better. A sequel is rarely ever better than the original. The examples of it are so few and far between. But yeah. The one thing that links all of those sequels that are generally considered to be better is that they build upon the first.
Yeah.
Rather than reject what came first or dishonor what came first. Ghostbusters 2 is a good example of doing it poorly and sort of trading away the goodwill the first film built. Mm-hmm. Empire didn't do that. It took what went before it and it headed off with it. It ran off with it to get to that finish line, you know? And it developed all the characters beautifully. But the other thing as well about that film is, as I've grown, it's grown with me. Every time I go back and review that movie through the new lens of the new me, like in my 20s, in my 30s, now in my 40s, I bring different things to it. I bring a different set of expectations to it, a critical faculty. So when I look at these things now, I might look at them more with an eye to the production or how it's edited or how the score tells the story beneath the story or behind the story. Some of those things, as I've gotten older, have become more and more important and have enhanced my enjoyment of it. And I think it works more with Empire than either of the other two original trilogy movies. Especially, and the thing that I really love, is Anakin. The way we learn in Empire that Vader is actually a different person altogether.
Yeah.
Is Anakin Skywalker. And when you go back and you rewatch it with that knowledge, and certainly when you go back and you rewatch it after you've seen Jedi and that knowledge has been qualified as being absolutely truthful.
Yeah.
Seeing Anakin reemerge slowly in that movie is wonderful. I love it. Even though his motivations in Empire are still kind of distasteful, he's going to grab his son. He's going to use him. He's going to sully his own child to seize power, even though he seems to be still doing it. Although we can do this great thing and we can install order and, you know, all the promises he made to Padme.
Yeah.
When Anakin starts to reemerge in Empire, he's willing to sell his son's soul to gain power. But by the time we get to Jedi, that journey sort of completes itself. And he says, no, I'm going to sacrifice myself and everything I've built to save my boy.
Mm-hmm.
But that reemergence of Anakin, you can't do that. I've never seen that done anywhere before. I've never seen the devil sort of shed his skin and show something else beneath it. You know, not quite like in Star Wars, this was the Boo-Hiss villain. It's the man in black. He's choking people. He's quite literally the quintessential bad guy.
Yeah.
But in Empire, they say, no, he's not. He's just...
it's a bit more complicated than that.
It's a bit more complicated.
What?
This guy now in the big floaty hologram thing, he's the real bad guy. And this guy really is, essentially, he's just a broken junkie. And and at the moment, he's willing to sell his son for the next fix.
Yeah.
And I find that incredibly compelling that you can take your bad guy from your first movie and change him in such a dramatic way. And I don't think I've seen that done since.
No, not like that.
It's a wonderful, bold thing to do. And it continues to grow with me, this film. And every time I sit and watch it, like the last time I saw it from beginning to end was when we recorded our audio commentary for it.
Yeah.
And it just keeps rewarding with every new viewing. It definitely grows with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the secret to the longevity of Star Wars, I think. And obviously sets up a really amazing Oh My. I should also point out that when I saw Empire for the first time, I believe my parents chose unwisely to bring my sister, who was ill with bronchitis, who just proceeded to vomit throughout the entire movie. I had a singular focus as
so
a child.
Selfish.
So I would have left her at home on her own, to be honest.
You should have done a chokehold, mate. It would have sorted it.
Yeah, the chokey thing.
Yeah.
Or a crushy throat.
Yeah. On a baby.
It might be frowned upon.
Yeah. I think she was only four. That probably would have been a bit rude.
No, I think that's past the watershed. That's all right.
Yeah, well, that was the idea of Get to Know Your Host. So that's us discussing Star Wars films. If Stephen was here, he'd throw his two pennies in and say that Avatar is his favourite Star Wars film.
Avatar,
yeah. So that's the idea. If you want us to discuss anything else, yeah, we will bear them all for you. Oh, right, I think we're good to GO. Are we done? That's not like a 90-minute episode. This is so rare for us.
Wow. What have we missed? What have we forgot?
Everything's gone right. Yeah, there's a huge section of the show we forgot. Maybe I'll just put a 45-minute advert in the middle of it.
Yeah. On Monday morning, you'll just be like, oh, the intros.
Yeah.
And knit all his kettle.
Just suddenly we started talking 20 minutes into it, just like as if we'd been going for 20.
There's a worst thing. I could realise that I hadn't pressed record. That would be the worst.
Oh, that's happened to me before.
Yeah.
After about 5 minutes, luckily, so I was able to salvage it.
Yeah. Well, we did that on an audio commentary once. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that had gone a bit pear-shaped. But no, this thankfully, is still recording as we speak. Right, let's wrap this one up. We can get out of here, Rob, because I know you got a hard out because you got an early engagement in the morning.
Indeed.
And this means I might be able to
If it was before we finished before 10, I might have changed my mind.
Yeah. No, who'd have thought, well, you know, Steve didn't successfully join the call. That would have...
Well, there you go. That's probably part of the...
Another voice in the mix would have elongated the show somewhat. Okay. Yeah. All right, well, that being said, thank you for listening to us again this week. You're always appreciated. Don't forget to leave us that five-star review we spoke about earlier. Head over to iTunes and drop your comments in there, and we will activate the Ron Burgundy guarantee. So whatever you write, we will read as long as it's clean. So if you want to promote something like a blog or a podcast, that might be the place to do it. You can also email your questions and comments to us at talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter and on Facebook, things like that. YouTube seems to be a popular platform that's kind of grown, and Instagram, I ignore it. But with that being said, chaps, where can people find you on the internet between shows?
On the interweb, you'll find me at moviescorenews.com. You will also find me on Twitter at moviescorenews. You'll also find me on Facebook called, guess what, Movie Score News. And you'll find me accompanying Mark on Talk Star Wars sometimes.
Nice.
Oh, there's an additional thing, but I'll let Mark explain that in a minute.
Okay. I'll do the heavy lifting this week.
Exciting. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision. And you can also find the bits and pieces that I do outside of Talk Star Wars on emotionally14.com and emotionally14 on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and iTunes.
Splendid, nicely done. You can find Stephen on Twitter at Stephen_Ware, and you can find him on YouTube at Wild About Nature, and I recommend checking out his videos. That man knows his stuff. You can find everything I do at talkstarwars.co.uk, and I'm on Twitter at TalkStarWars. But you can also find Paul and myself, and we are now joined by Mr. Matthew Keegan at Hindsight. This is a script that Paul and I have written, and Matt's just completed the second draft of the novelization.
Ooh.
We're very excited about it. So you can find us on Twitter at Hindsight Script and also on Facebook at Hindsight Script as well. So facebook.com/Hindsight Script.
Nice.
There's a ever-growing community surrounding this project now. Lots of people have been very supportive. So if you want to get involved with some of that, it's really taken off, and I'm so dead keen for people to get to read this thing because Matt's done a sterling job.
Nice.
All right, that's it for us this week then. Stick around for the Commonwealth promo so you can hear where to find those quality shows. They are all worth your time. And we will see you guys next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
No turtles.
Talk Star Wars is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Find us at starwarscommonwealth.com. Alongside
the Tumbling Saber Podcast,
the Generation X-Wing Podcast,
the TSW Roundtable,
the Skyhoppers Podcast,
and the Nerd Room Podcast.
Head to StarWarsCommonwealth.com. Take your first steps to a larger world.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, I think there's room to loophole this, but Rob, let's get yours first.
Get yours first.
Oh, Stephen.
What did we say, Steve? We had one rule.
Hey.
Couldn't you have your headphones plugged in? Look what you're doing.
We can hear ourselves. Don't get me wrong, I sound amazing.
Rob, you're even interrupting yourself.
I'm finished talking, Rob.
I've solved the problem. It's that's all resolved. Right, so let's carry on.
What was that? What were we saying? Leia.
Yeah.